settled in after a full day. Take a deep breath. You're here.
Yep.
All right. We're going to be finished at 8 o'clock. So we encourage you to soak it up. It's valuable to be a receiver of what God has for you. And we all know God only gives good gifts.
Yep.
So as you're sitting here tonight, because what we're talking about tonight can be challenging.
Don't say what it is.
I'm not going to. Okay. But it can be challenging if you don't recognize that God loves you and he only gives good gifts. So this is where in order to change, you have to what? This isn't a trick question, but you've got to change. God, I feel like, man, this is a tough crowd tonight. I don't know. Yeah, yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Read the Bible. Let's put that in there too.
All right, so let's pray, and then we'll get right into this. So let's do it. So, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time together. Lord, we ask that you just take care of us tonight. Lord, you just clear our hearts, our thoughts. Lord, that we just completely and 110% just put all of that into your hands. So, God, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you just come in and you do a wonder-working, beautiful miracle in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are showing us our next best steps within our relationships and you're helping us out in every area. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think, is that the youth base or is that the rave music still in the party room? That's that. Okay. It was getting me off a little bit. I was like, what is happening? All right. All right. Hey, guys. So I'm really am excited you're here tonight because there's something that we all need to be very accountable for and aware of. No, I'm good. You know, for many of us in this room, it's difficult for us to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, this is the issue. But I've got a little bit of an illustration I think is going to help. So many of you guys are pretty familiar with this, I would say. I mean, you know, these are just your normal traffic cones. We see them often. You know, what's really wild about these cones that we really probably don't give them much credit to is how heavy they are. They're actually, I think this one may weigh 0.5 pounds. But this 0.5 pound cone can move a 2-ton vehicle. These are destructive habits. And this moves us. When we're trying to go somewhere, this will stop us in our tracks. And we'll try to avoid them just by going around and be like, well, I'll just avoid this one. But yet you come to another moment in your path. Guess what? Here it is again. You go, oh, I'll just avoid it. And you just continue to avoid it until finally it stops you in your tracks. And then you don't know what to do. And typically what happens, you'll say regrettable things. You'll begin to regret all of these choices you've made, all of these things that are happening in your life, just insert blank, whatever it is that you would consider to be not where you wanted to be. And you're going, how did I get here? Sometimes the first instinct is to point, I'm here because of you. And you start blame gaming it instead of internalizing it and saying, all right, Lord, I need you to renew my mind. You need to begin to pay attention to, well, how you got there. So if you start this path and you can reflect and say, you know what happens when this takes place in my life? This bad habit just arises. And Anna, what are some of those destructive habits?
I've got a list here of just that I've compiled when studying. But before I read this, how many of us are glad that God is doing a work in us? So as we walk through this, we recognize that this is not a point of condemnation, right? God does not condemn. The Holy Spirit does not condemn us. He convicts us. This is where we wake up and we go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this area in my life so I can grow. So I can grow in my relationship. So I can grow in my marriage. And God, that you're doing a good work on the inside of me. Because that's everything. So this is not about perfection. We know that. But this is about Christ Jesus living on the inside of us and us choosing to be a disciple of Christ and to be more like him. Before I read this list, I want to start off with this because this is extremely valuable. And the Lord, this morning, God added this in We know this scripture here at this church, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Game-changing scripture. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God. So we're talking about breaking destructive habits or cycles tonight, and it's truly going to be living by faith that we do this, because we recognize we can't do this on our own, and we don't have to, right? So that word faith, when you study it out, means belief, trust, confidence, and it's always a gift from God, and it's never something that can be produced by people. Faith comes from the Lord, and it's a guarantee. This is a guarantee that whenever you are believing God, it's a gift from God that this scripture is true, because tonight we're going to walk through this, and our prayer for each one of us is that the Holy Spirit's going to awaken something on the inside of you to say, hey, that's a destructive habit, but I have a word for you that you're going to need to believe by faith that I'm going to help you to break. Do you see what I mean?
Right, because, so, let me say this, because okay. Psalm 119, verse 9, and it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, and it's not that complicated, so that's where we want to help us through this process to obey God's word.
So the Lord continually births faith in the heart of the believer. And we receive faith when we receive God's word. That's why we started saying, all right, are we receivers tonight? Because when you receive his word, then you want to walk in his word. Now, the word hearing in the scripture, faith comes by what? Hearing. That word hearing is an inner spiritual hearing that goes with receiving faith from God. It's a discernment of God's voice. So when we go through this, who are you listening to right now? Are you listening? Are you discerning the voice of God? Do you have, is your spirit man tuned in? Are you close to your shepherd saying, God, I am drawing near to you. I want to hear everything you have to say about my life. These are good things to ask yourself. Are you listening to what the world has to say about what you're dealing with your marriage, with your relationships? And then the word here, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word rhema, or a spoken word. The Lord speaking his dynamic, living word into the believer's heart. All right, here we go. Destructive habits. Are you ready?
Do it.
All right. Criticism is a destructive habit. Are you critical? That's a huge one. That's at the top of my list here. As if you want to close your eyes and just sit here and think about this, you can. Like these, I really want you to have a moment of, I want you to examine your heart as we walk through this. One of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to get through this list, I promise. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 139, where God, we find out of just knowing that we were created by God, and it's beautiful. Psalm 139 is great. But verse 23 and 24 at the end of Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. That's a wonderful prayer. God, search me and know my heart. God, if there's anything inside of me that doesn't belong to you, I want it out of there. God, I want to operate in faith of knowing that you're going to help me to grow and to be more like Jesus. Every day I'm growing in you. All right, so criticism. Expecting the worst in your relationship, meaning you're not believing the best, either in your spouse. Everything is always, you always see the worst in what's going on. And that could be in other friendships, family. And that's often based upon past hurts or disappointments. Living defensive. You're always on the defense, trying to, you all know what it looks like to defend yourself constantly. Oh, you're touchy. Right? That means you're touchy. Disrespect and name-calling. These are all destructive habits. People have found maybe you were raised in a household that was really angry, that's what you heard, and you found that you have gotten into that habit that needs to be broken. Avoiding. And then I put in here, you avoid intimacy with your spouse. You avoid conflict resolution. You simply would rather tuck tail and hide. You'd rather not deal with the situation. I mean, there's multiple areas here when it comes to avoiding things. Stonewalling. Have you heard of that term? It's a failure to communicate with your spouse. This would go with avoiding. Failure to communicate with a spouse or an individual you're having conflict with during a stressful conversation, which is not always intentional, but it is hurtful. And it causes the person that you are talking with to feel that you don't care. So stonewalling. Addictions. Could be, some of you are like, trying to go deep here, social media. Chocolate? Possibly. Addictions, coffee, no. I'm not putting coffee on that addiction list. But unfair fighting is a destructive habit. Not living in the present, where you don't enjoy just the moment. You find yourself not enjoying what's happening in your day-to-day walk. Allowing worry to determine the patterns of your life. That's a huge one. Bad attitudes, strife. Strife is a spirit, actually. You can read all about it in the book of James. But bad attitudes. Dishonesty. You know, a little lie is still a lie. I don't know if there's really any little lies or big lies. Lying is lying. It is. We try to justify these things. Well, this is who I am. Control issues. You know, I put a scripture here for worry because you love Matthew chapter 6. I really liked verse 27. It says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No. No, it can't. You know, with each one of these, God has a word in his word for whatever destructive habit you might be facing today. Matthew chapter 7, he talks about judging. I put this on the list. That's a destructive habit. And it happens at such a young age that these are things that we tend to carry into our marriage. I really like this scripture. You all know in Matthew 7 about do not judge. Judge not lest you be judged. But I really like talking about, you know, look at the speck in your, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but do not consider the plank in your own eye? I really like this verse. I put it in here, 32 through 34. Where am I at? Matthew 6. Oh, no, Matthew 7, sorry. It says, okay, verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Have you ever felt like you're facing a lot of judgment in your life and you wonder, why am I going through all of this? That's a heart check moment to make sure that you're not measuring that out to others. These are hard things to talk about. But if you find yourself recognizing, man, I'm not bearing good fruit. Why are we having such a hard time right now? Why am I having such a challenging time with my relationships, or my spouse, or my family, my coworkers? Is it possible that you're dealing with some destructive habits that you've not recognized, that you need to wake up to, of what this really looks like?
Yeah, and I think for some of us, even though Anna nailed the bigger topics that we're most familiar with, but let's just say the word that comes to me from one destructive habit is hard-headed. And typically both individuals will experience this, just this hard-headedness of not willing to bend, not willing to talk about the situation, just want to ignore it, avoid it at all cost. And then what happens is you're not working on your marriage. You're not working on your relationship. What's happening is you're just avoiding it just because you're like, maybe it'll just, let's just sweep it under the rug, let's just avoid it at all costs, because why deal with the blow up? Instead, it's important to realize that it's time to repent. It's time to say, all right, all we're doing is arguing. All we're doing is constantly hitting this dam in our life that just blocks a flow of God's grace, his love, his goodness. What is it? Let's take a step back. Maybe you need to fast. Maybe you're so weighed down with so many voices in the world, it's time to take a step back and say, all right, I'm going to research, and we don't have time to go over what a fast is exactly, but I mean, brief synopsis of a fast is not, this isn't to move God, this is to move you. A fast is always to move you, to get you out of the way so that you can hear God. That's what a fast is all about. So when you are hitting these blocks in your relationships and what's going on, you know, you guys fill in the blanks, you know, I say hard-headedness because you're unwilling to come to that realization. There's something minor that needs to be corrected. Now, what's so beautiful about the story of salvation through Jesus Christ is repentance. The ability that God will literally help you pick all of these cones up and bring you back here to square one and say, all right, now, as you begin, you're still carrying on to the habit sometimes. I'm not telling you, you know, it's very rare that out of nowhere, you know, you receive Jesus Christ on Sunday morning or wherever you may be, and then all of a sudden you're like, I am awesome, and I can do anything, and it's amazing. It's those habits you're still got, okay? Most times, 9 out of 10, you're still carrying some of these things. The beautiful part about it is, as you begin to walk and you start the process, whatever it is, the argument or whatever, as you begin to place the cone down of bad habit or destructive habit, the Holy Spirit will say, don't do it. The Holy Spirit comes in. And let me give you guys a history lesson. Some of you guys don't realize this. King James Bible. Everyone's like, yeah, King James Bible. Okay, what was before the King James Bible? None of you guys know. And then before that. And then before that. And before that. And before that. Yet all you hear constantly in the Bible is his word. As I just read in Psalms 119:9. Did David have the Bible? No, he had those first five books, and he's like, yeah, I got Genesis, Exodus. Great. The word came by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not denouncing the value, the heaviness, the weight of the word. This is wonderful. An easier Google. This is the Google. This is a great example for me to say. This is the Google now. We've got it here in a compact, nice, different versions for you to read and understand, all that good stuff. It's been compacted right there. And that's where we've actually fallen short because Christians will go, I know the word, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what tells you don't put down that destructive habit, and then you keep walking. And again, it's like, oh, here comes that trigger moment, oh, destructive habit. And as you begin, Holy Spirit says, don't do it. And then before you know it, you're not carrying these anymore. You don't feel the urge to want to do it. You sit here and you go, you know what, I'm acknowledging this. And one of my best friends in high school, his name was Joseph Kessler. He was so argumentative, so argumentative. In college, argumentative. He was such a cheapskate type. He was so cheap. And so I remember in college, he didn't want to have an apartment, so he would just stay at all of our apartments. He would commute, but he would just stay at all of our apartments. He would just apartment hop. And remember caller ID? Remember caller ID? And it would be the one beside the phone, and it would have a blinking light. I would come home, and I would go into, he would be behind me, because he caught a ride in my car. And we would go into my bedroom, I would go into my bedroom, throw my backpack down, and I'd be like, you know, counting, doing whatever I need to do. I'd go in the living room, and I'd check my caller ID, and there was no blinking lights. So then I would just go and do whatever I needed to do. 2 months later, I discovered Joseph was checking my caller ID for me. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You don't touch my caller ID. And, you know, immediately, instead of being like, you know what, you're right. Instead, it was hard-headed. He wanted to fight me. He wanted to fight me about my caller ID, and I'm sitting there, what's wrong with you? No joke. Out of nowhere, maybe a few months later, or maybe even a year later, I remember him coming to all of us. He had a moment with God at the altar of his church, and he said, I've got to confess something, you guys. I realized I'm hard-headed. And I'm argumentative. And I'm going to change. And we were all like, wow. You know what? He did. It's a completely different Joseph. Like, wonderful, beautiful, amazing man of God. He was always a man of God. He was always loving Jesus, but he just couldn't get over himself to be right. And that moment, something happened. And that's what I'm saying for all of us in this room. You need to self-examine, repent of those bad habits, and begin to fast if you need to. If you're like, I'm great, you need to fast. If you're like, I'm great, and your spouse is like, oh my gosh, you know, those are cues for you. Repent, go back and say, all right, Holy Spirit, guide me through this because I want to fix these things that I'm doing because it's not healthy. It's not healthy. I have watched, my wife and I, we have watched spouses where we go, oh my gosh, they're so mean to one another. I mean, I remember at a dinner one time we were eating and I remember even the spouse looked at him. I'm going to say they, so you don't know if it's the man doing it to the woman or the woman doing it to the man. But they looked at their spouse and they go, you're so stupid. And you're like, whoa. Like, that's so hard. Like, those words, you think that you just, you're like, but we're like best friends.
These are believers.
Yeah.
These are people that are, but once again, they're destructive habits that you don't realize it's destroying.
But they take the familiarity
the
as
the
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my spouse. I can treat them like garbage because they're stuck with me for the rest of our lives. And you're like, no, this is your second part of your body, who you are. No longer two, but one.
It's your best friend.
Yeah.
It's your best friend.
Building each other up, not creating this destructive nature that divides you, and then you're really divided, and then bad habits get in your way, and before you know it, you're down a real bad habit, and it's more than that. It's a pothole.
Of destruction, it is. If I were to ask you, who in here wants God's best for your life? I would hope that every person in here would say me. And some of you, you might even battle saying, but am I worthy? The blood of Jesus has made you worthy for God's best in your marriage and in your home, in your relationships. Last week, we were parked in Galatians 5. I want to remind us of this scripture, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't keep going back to the destructive habits once you've been free from it. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You have a choice today to say, God, I don't want to go back there anymore. Have you ever gone back to the same battle and you just get so sick and tired of it? I've gone over the same things over and over and I'm like, that is really that moment when you cry out to God and you're like, God, I'm done. I need your help. And what a beautiful place of brokenness before the Lord of just saying, God, I really need you. And the Lord says, I'm here, and I'm going to help you every step of the way. And then I love in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This gives us a beautiful picture of the Word of God. And we're going to walk through, we've got some different pieces here, but I want us to get an understanding of why you read the Word of God and why tonight, whatever you're battling this week, you're going to grab a hold of the Word and you're going to plant it deep in your heart. We know in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that God's word, this is how we're transformed, right? This is what this looks like. So Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active and full of power. When you read the word of God over your life, it is living, active, and it's full of power. What power? Resurrection power. Praise God, the very power of God at work on the inside of you, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, of both joints and marrow, or the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. As you get into the Word of God and begin to seek after what God has for your life, His word is going to come in and go right to the heart of the matter and do a healing work. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. That's exactly right.
And when you take on the Word of God, you begin to act upon the Word of God.
Yes.
And what's beautiful is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So you begin to view and see your spouse the same way that God does. When you're speaking his word, it was great. Have you guys ever read anything in this word? Now, let's skip the Old Testament. Let's go into the New Covenant. Because in the Old Testament, you'd be like, yeah. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, do you ever see anything where God's like, you guys are morons? No, the Old Testament, yeah. Okay, we can go with the Israelites, and you're going to be like, yeah, he said it quite a bit of times there. Okay, that's different. Okay, things have changed. Praise you, Jesus.
They were
a little moronic, but all right. But moving into the New Testament, Jesus didn't go around being like, yo, you're dumb. Wow. He didn't belittle anyone. He encouraged everyone. When people would come to him and they were sick, they needed something, what did he say? He said, come here. Let's do this. He was encouraging. He was always encouraging. I mean, he didn't go into Zacchaeus' house and be like, y'all gonna burn in hell. He didn't do that. What did he say? He said, wow. You saw that there was something that took place. They don't explain it very well, but you know that something, the presence of Jesus in the room, changed Zacchaeus' heart. And he said, I want to change. He had an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah, he did.
And in that moment, Jesus said, you just saved yourself and your whole family.
When's the last time you had an encounter with the Lord that you knew you needed to change? It's a great question to ask yourself tonight. Are you really going in the presence of God and saying, Lord, mold me, make me. I want to be more like you. God, expose those things that need to be exposed. Do a work inside of my life. You know, whenever we put this into action, you don't need to raise your hand, but we all know that this is hard. When you've had a destructive habit or cycle for a long period of time and God exposes, it hurts a little bit, doesn't it? It can be tough because you're like, oh my God, you don't want to be that way anymore. And it's tough. I've got some scripture here, if that's you tonight, where you're like, okay, I know I want to change. But Anna, this is hard. Here we go. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. It's God who's at work in you. Philippians 2:13, the Amplified. I've got to read this in the Amplified. Y'all know me. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Galatians 6:5-6, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. When I put my faith in him, then he'll begin to express himself through his love, which is awesome. Whenever we get in and we realize what God is doing in our life, we know that it's him helping us to do this. A set of scripture that I've been praying over myself and our family for months now is Colossians chapter 1. I pray this over Joshua, myself, and my children, starting in verse 9 through verse 14. And this is a part of us waking up and believing God that those destructive habits are broken. And I say, for this reason, I also, since the day I heard it, we've talked about hearing, right? Do not cease to pray for Joshua, for Cademan, Cohen, Colton, and Carly, and for myself, and to ask that we will be filled with the knowledge of God, your will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. And that we'll give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And God, I thank you that you have delivered us from the power of darkness. And I'll name us all out. I've got three teenage boys right now. Y'all, I stand on this word. It's full of power. And faith, faith is believing God when it doesn't look that way. Faith is believing God when it doesn't feel that way. This is saying, God, I know that this is who you are because you've delivered us from the power of darkness and you have conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have redemption through your blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is everything to me because I believe that God is doing this work in our family. We're having a huge discussion right now in our family of what it looks like to be kind. What it looks like for these habits to be broken. Y'all, these are hard conversations. It's not easy.
I was telling Dave and Katie and Christian, and I just came back from a conference and today, and we were talking about, you know, some of the things that our children do. And I said, get ready. I said, and obviously Dave over here already told me that he and Elliot they're already doing this. But it's funny and it's okay. But then it ramps up as they get older. And that was, my kids, they'll be like, man, this donut's really dry. And the other kid will be like, you're dry.
Man, and then it just keeps
this
going.
This TV show's really dumb. You're dumb.
Going and
it's like,
going.
It's constant. And then before you know it, you're like, how did we get here? And then there's just more destructive words where you're like, wow, we're just killing each other.
Okay, one of my kids said to the other, girls only like you because you're good looking. Yeah. And meant it as a put down and then went down some other path. And I'm getting these text messages, which then I text message back, stop right now. Like, I'm shutting it down. We will talk tonight. And then I sent him a scripture on wisdom. Okay. I mean, that's me. Like, it was, they're going to school. And like, this is what I'm doing right now. Be kind. Stop it. I'm going to talk to you tonight. Shut it down. So then finally we said, if you say one more word, then you're grounded for the next 3 days. Anything unkind, and you're grounded for the next 3 days. I got to tell you, if you say one more unkind word to your spouse, I'm grounding each one of you for the next 3 days. Joking, not joking, but for real, this is where we wake up to what this looks like. And right. We've had these, some of our hardest conversations have been our greatest points of growth, where we're waking up to realizing, God, I don't want to be this way anymore.
Right, it's really easy to listen to what we're saying and go, yeah, I'm not that way. I'm really kind to you, right? Yeah, we're kind, yeah. and you kind of go, we don't have those problems, those big things. We're actually talking about some of the small pebbles, not the giant boulders. We're talking about some of the small pebbles. For some of you that are single in this room, so I looked right at Aaron just now. Aaron, ladies, Aaron is single. All right, anyway, so this is great advice for those that are single, and that is, I had a destructive habit. I had a destructive habit of when Ann and I were dating, that I want to tell myself. I told my friend Joseph, so if Joseph ever listened to this,
I know
want
what
Joseph
he's gonna
to
say.
Know I told him myself. So I had a destructive habit of, it's so hard to say.
If you don't say it, I will.
It's not that I...
Just say it. Just
okay,
say
it's
it.
It's embarrassing, and just I've never it. Said this before.
Just say it. You already went down
know,
that path.
I know. Okay, give me a second. Okay. It takes time to confess. I know. When you're a player, and you're just dating all these girls, and then you realize, hey, I really like this one the most.
Meaning me.
And then you confess your love to them and you go, I love you. And she goes, I love you. And then she says, I've never said that to someone before. And I'm like, I may have said that to a few ladies. And then you realize, hold on, I've been praying for a spouse. I'm 24. In my head, I was like, I want to pray for my future spouse. I'm praying for this. You know, I'm intent. I'm going to the church. I'm like, man, I want my future spouse. And then I'm like, I found her. And I'm like, I love you. And then we're out, you know, on dates or whatever. And I would see friends of mine that were females. And I'd go, hey, babe, what's up? And then she was like,
oh, no. No.
Who's babe? And I'm like, I don't know.
No.
And that happened a few times. Why? Because that was a destructive behavior. I was treating girls like a piece of meat. Hey, babe. I was just stringing them along and not realizing, hold on, I'm praying for a spouse. I'm praying for the one. I've got her right in front of me, yet I'm looking at these girls and calling them babe. I'm flirting with these girls, essentially. I mean, I wasn't like sitting there winking, hey, you know, it wasn't like that, but just that familiar term. Yeah. And that's when she made it aware to me. She goes, I'm the only one. And then you go, oh, that's right. So I had to change.
It was a real conversation we had. I was like, why are you calling everybody babe for?
And it's a pebble. I mean, it's a pebble of an instance. But if not addressed, it becomes a boulder.
Yeah.
And it becomes inappropriate. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I need to backpedal this. So what do? You repent and you go, I'm glad I stopped. So it changed everything. And actually, I went home that evening. And one of those evenings when I finally got it, and I threw away the shoebox. So, some of you know, the shoebox, you know, of all the past girlfriend stuff. Like, you know, like the weird thing, the card, that thing that she thought was cute and you just agreed to it, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's so awesome. And all that was in this box. So I remember throwing it away and saying, no, this is it. That's done. I'm done with the destructive habit. So it's those pebbles you need to be aware of.
I think a part of moving forward and recognizing this, and this is it. You have to get to that place where you go before the Lord and you truly repent for that behavior. And in Psalm chapter 51, this is a Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. David battled quite a few destructive behaviors in his life. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't give up on us.
No.
God loves you. God's not forsaken you. You're not alone in this. He is for you. He's not against you. And there are people that love you enough to come in. And, you know, we're joking. I was joking. I couldn't ground you even if I wanted to. But I remember when we first got married, I treated Josh almost like when I'd get mad at him, I just immediately wanted to yell. Like my brother, like if I got mad at my brother.
That was a habit that you were familiar with.
Yeah.
I was the first man you lived with outside of your dad and your brother.
So I just would yell at him like he was my brother. If he came home late or something. We had a really full, busy first year of marriage. And if you do premarital counseling with us, we tell you everything, like in our rules, it's everything we did that we tell you not to do. Okay? That's essentially what that looks like. My parents are my pastors. I went to my pastors. I went to my mom. I said, hey, I hate this. It's not healthy. I don't want to have a house where we yell. I don't enjoy it. She goes, you got a destructive habit. You got to break it. She goes, I want you for the next 3 weeks. My mom, my pastor told me that no matter what happens, even if it's something bad, that you don't say a thing. You become aware of it. Now you've got to submit your flesh to God. But first you go say, Lord, forgive me. I need your help. And when the prophet Nathan went to David, he told David, hey, you can't move forward until you repent. Get your heart cleaned up. And then I love in verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. Then it's going to be a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. And then from that place of repentance, what does that look like? It looks like James chapter 4, verse 7. So you repent and then you choose to resist the devil. You submit yourself to God and you resist the devil. James 4, 7 says, so submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. That word submit means you're under God's arrangement to obey. You are choosing to submit to the Lord's plan. And resisting the devil is a 180-degree turn. Where you say, here, you're making a choice to completely turn from that and oppose that attack of Satan on your life. You're saying, God, Satan, I resist you at all costs. In the name of Jesus, the authority that you've been given, when you wake up to this, you take a stand. It actually means that I push back. I establish my position publicly by holding one's ground. That you take a stand. I'm not going to be in fear anymore. I take a stand today. God, I don't want to yell at my spouse. I don't want to name call. I don't want to fall into this pit of despair. I don't want to give up. I don't want to continually threaten divorce. That's a bad habit. I don't want to run away. Whatever it might be that's causing strife or turmoil. And when you repent, you go to your spouse, or you go to that person, that friend, that coworker, whatever it looks like, and you say, hey, I love you. I'm sorry. You have that hard conversation of reconciliation. And then you become accountable to one another as you move forward, as we resist. And then we say, okay, now I'm going to take a step of faith and trust in God. Knowing that God has a word and he is helping me every step of the way.
It takes time and effort, period. So always keep that in mind, because it takes time and effort from both partners.
Yeah.
And with that, it's patience, it's persistence, it's awareness. All efforts of seeking support with it. As Anna said, you know, we sought out our pastors. We go to our pastors and we ask, hey, I've got something going on. You guys, some of you in this room, you think that we're... I just did something to your iPad.
Sorry.
So you guys think that we're too busy for you or something. Some of you actually think that I'm going to use you as illustration. Everyone's so nervous that Josh is going to use you as an illustration. You're like, you just did with Joseph... That was 20 years ago, and he was in my wedding. We're still great best friends, and he would not care one bit for me to tell you that story. I only use stories from people who I know don't care. I'm not going to use your stories. And some of you are sitting in this room going, that's right, and I'm not even pointing you guys out. Because you know I know your stories, and it's okay. We want to come here and we want to support you. We are for you. We want to be with you. We want to help you. We want to point you to God's word. We want to come in and help in a way that you become aware of those destructive cycles and some of the habits. And you go, you know what? I want to fix them. Because it's important that you, with effort, with patience and persistence, that you seek after this. Because when you do it, things change. You'll start seeing a switch. You'll start seeing where, oh my gosh, we're having a more fruitful relationship. And that's where it should be.
Not based upon fear. This goes with even parents. I recognize I had one of my kids, I was parenting from a position of fear, and it was causing such turmoil in my relationship with that child. I fasted for a month. The Lord told me to fast. At the end of that fast, what came alive on the inside, what I recognized, when I was dealing with a stronghold of fear, where the enemy was trying to put me behind this wall of fear to keep me from truly flourishing in my parenting with that kid. And I was parenting on the defense rather than the offense. And we'll find that in our relationships, that often it's fear, it's worry, it's strife, it's something that we've allowed in that we've not dealt with through the Word of God. Whenever you get in and you recognize this and you say, all right, Lord, I'm choosing to grow in you, then you get into God's word. Remember, we read that it has power. We know in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That as you get in and you find what you're standing on, and you say, God, I'm going to place this word deep in my heart. And when that comes up, what happens when you're pressed, when you're crushed? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. The Holy Spirit's going to come in and quicken you. He's going to come in and show you those areas. He's going to help you. And it's going to be the word of God living greater, living bigger than that attack of the enemy on your life. 2 years ago, we were at a conference. Move of God, had an encounter with the Lord. I'm up front at the altar. And I'll say this, don't allow the enemy to steal that encounter with God. You can do it tonight when you get home. It's any time. The power of God is always present. The Holy Spirit is freely flowing for you to receive. But what the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the middle of all these people getting ministered to, he said, Anna, you want to quit what you should correct. And he was actually ministering to me about a destructive cycle of constantly wanting to quit things when they got real hard, wanting to hide. And instead of rising up and correcting the situation according to the word of God and doing what God had called me to do. I remember sitting there and I just wept before the Lord because I needed that word from heaven. And then what did I do? I got in and I found scripture to stand on. I repented right there. And I said, okay, no more. I'm not going to go around this same battle again in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're getting me out of this pit.
So to wrap this up, because it's 8 o'clock, you're going to need to renew your mind. And that's yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit to allow him to do a work in your life and surrendering that control of your thoughts and emotions to him. By doing that, the Holy Spirit, as you know, he's going to tell you the thoughts of our Father. That's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, of his purpose here on this earth and in us is to tell us, hey, I know exactly what you need to hear right now. And as you begin to yield to him before you lay down that destructive habit and causes you to veer off course, then you begin to go, all right, what is the Lord saying? What am I doing? And then you're going to take that step to recognize exactly what Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
That's right.
You'll begin to release those cravings and you'll realize, man, I've been set free from this.
That's right.
It's a process. There's some times and moments where you go, man, you know, I just want to just scream and stop, and you go, Holy Spirit, you take control. When you speak God's word, it changes. And it's important that you recognize that because we say it all the time. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're speaking God's word, it's going to change. And so we have a spiritual challenge for you to do. Last week, we gave you the spiritual challenge of praying for the one you're in conflict with at times, and it could just be your spouse in general. It could be someone at work or whatever it is, but pray 10 minutes a day. And if you can, pray with them in that 10 minutes a day, if that's possible. And that's what last week's, if you can continue to carry that on out, shouldn't necessarily stop that. But this spiritual challenge we love for you to do from this Wednesday to next Wednesday is we want you to speak. I want to say it right because they reworded it for us. Speak life, giving words of encouragement. And some of you will say, what's that look like? Man, that's looking at Miguel and saying, Miguel, I love you. You're so sweet and you're so kind. And then you don't look at your spouse and go, you just said that because Pastor Josh told you to say it. So I'm picking on you too. But you say things that are encouraging. Anna sent me a photo today, and it was her pointing like this at me, and she says, and it just said, I love you. And I was like, I like that.
Send a message throughout the day. Send a text message.
Encouragement.
Okay, what we had originally put was, we only want you to encourage your spouse this next week. So if anything else arises.
And don't be condescending.
No.
Your encouragement. You're the best arguer. No.
Make a choice. Why? Because when you do that, what you're putting into practice what you're desiring yourself, right? And you're honoring God with your words. You're honoring God with your attitudes. You're honoring God by saying, God, I'm giving you my best.
Yep.
And you're watering your own grass. It's really essentially it.
Be intentional. Be intentional. And don't look at this and go, I'm only doing it because I was told to do it. Do it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
And do it with, like we said last week, pursuing after one another, encouraging. And if you're sitting here going, so what am I don't have a significant other, so therefore what am I supposed to do? Well, then what you should do is you should tell your boss that you are very appreciative of this job and you're thankful for this job that I have in this position. You begin to show gratitude of where you are and the people you get to work with. You can look at them even though you want at times to bite down on nails. You look at your coworkers and go, I'm thankful I get to work beside you. I'm thankful we get to do this together. You begin to water your own grass.
Hey, if words of affirmation or encouragement are challenging, get in the Word of God and look up words of encouragement, okay? Ask the Holy Spirit for help. He will help you. on what to do and what to say. I know some of you are like, this doesn't come natural, but the Holy Spirit will help you on how to encourage your other half. He's going to give you those words. Put it into action.
Hey, have fun this week. See you on Sunday. Bring friends out. All that good stuff.
I'm preaching.
Sweet. Have a great week.